Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yo, what's going on, AfterBuzz family? You knocked and now we're buzzing you in. What's my favorite word? Beach? Nah, actually, it's insecure. Time for episode 3, Racist as What, on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
Turn it up. Hey. Hey, this is a classic.
Because I'm on the CC. Oh, wait, no.
Because see, you That's get confused.
I see what you're saying now. I see what you're saying.
Regardless whether it's too short, whether it's Drake, it's still a classic.
Yes.
Blow the whistle. You know what? You knocked. We rang you in. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV Presents Insecure, Episode 3, Racist as What? I'm your lead host, McCall Hall. You can find me on social media when sports and pop culture collide at So McCall Hall. And our wonderful cast bouncing, getting it in tonight.
Allen Washington, sorry, I'm like trying to keep calm in my head. I'm doing like this little dance in my head, but I can't cut up. Allie Washington at Allie Pub, all across social media.
And Spicy Madi, you guys can play with my Twitter or stroke my Instagram at Spicy Madi.
Oh,
I'm just saying, I'm about to get into it. Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
She ain't the only one. We about to get Ian tonight. Omari, where can they find you at?
Those people can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at On With Omari. Also on Snapchat at Omari B.
Now check this out. You know the deal. It's AfterBuzz TV across the board. Engage with us. Talk to us on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter. Yo, even on YouTube. So with that, you know what we got to do. We got to shout out our YouTubers.
Let's do it.
You know, I love the YouTubers. I'm not on Twitter and Instagram as much as I'd like to, but
get
I
on
do.
It. Get on it.
I need to. But I do go on Instagram, or excuse me, on YouTube, and I you know, read the comments and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give a little shout out. Michaela King, shout out to you. Nook Cranny, Miss G, shout out to you. Moses,
Clever.
Something, I can't say your last name. Maureen, the ninja, all right. Olajuwon, back on there. The Right Stuff 14, Madam Sophia, shout out to you. Thank you so much for engaging with us. Monique Johnson, thank you so much. Derek Elliott, I see you. Let's see. Rada 46, Jazz Pitts.
Rada da
da. See Iffy, Okafor, and Jamise. All right. So awesome. Thank you guys so
thank
much.
Y'all.
It's a lot. Love.
It's a lot of people. A lot of love.
We feel the love. We feel the love.
Look, you might have said something I like. You might have said something I didn't like. But I appreciate you saying something. All right.
Indeed.
Exactly.
You guys.
Yes.
Racist as
F.
Boy.
What do we feel about cursing?
I love it.
I think it's great.
Because I'm trying to be
good. There's curse words in the Bible. That's what I always said as a kid when my parents were like, you can't curse. I was like, but Dad, they say ass in the Bible.
Yes,
what do you mean
but
you can't
my mom
curse?
Always told me, it's always the reference in which Jesus was speaking. Hey, Mom. Every time. So I wouldn't even try
it. If Jesus can say it, then I can say it.
Speaking of Jesus, I can
say it. Come on.
Yo, if Jesus could drink, we could drink.
Speaking of Jesus, it is what Sabbath, and we are actually coming to you live on a Sunday directly after the show.
Finally.
Can the church say amen?
Can the church say amen? This will be going forward. We got 5 episodes left, so tune in on a Sunday night versus a Monday night. You know, Monday night's reserved for football. Sunday night's all about Insecure, baby.
Yes.
So let's get into it, you guys.
Do it. Love it.
Now, this is how we're going to break it down. We're going to go through a little bit scene by scene, and then I want to talk about the themes that we had going on today.
Oh, there was a lot, yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple of themes
besides
that I was
racism.
Thinking about. Well, of course. And racism ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
I'm telling you guys right now, racism ain't going no damn where. So anyways, shout out to Issa and Lawrence getting back together, or so we think.
How do you feel about that? Were you happy to see that?
They never officially broke up.
I don't know if they ever really broke up, and I also don't know if they ever really got back together until the end of the episode, but we'll get into it.
Okay.
So there's a disconnect between them, this episode.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
But why? I'm a little confused. Why did they even hop back into the bed together? Like, I don't know why they even went that far so soon.
Issa was coming back home.
But I mean, right. like, why didn't one of them sleep on the couch?
Issa wasn't ready to dead the relationship. As Molly said when she left the first episode, he was like, oh, you mad, but we good. Because Issa is not ready to end the relationship. She still needs that security blanket. She still needs her man. She's been with him for 4 years. It's a comfort level. Also, it's the dating world is hard. She saw Molly in her single life. She doesn't want to get back into the pool, so she has her man at her side. Yeah, he ain't shit right now, but he's trying to get it together. Sorry for the cursing, but we're okay with that here, right?
Right.
We're still good with that?
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I think I had saw some comments, too, that was saying that, you know, just because you're in a relationship with the dude and you're scared to leave doesn't mean that you should stay just because you're scared to leave. But I don't think that in this situation that is relevant, because I don't think that it's enough detrimental circumstances for her to leave the situation. I mean, there honesty hasn't been broken, like trust hasn't been broken. There hasn't been a like any of the core values broken. Yeah, she's just irritated, and that's going to happen in relationships. So you can't just dip just because you're tired of the relationship and you're bored and it's not spicy anymore. Like, it's your responsibility to, you know, shout out to Spice. Wow. But it's her responsibility to, like, come with it. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that she was acting very immature. So I'm happy to see her finally take some accountability, especially when we peeped that some other women were, you know, stroking his ego like he needed.
I see you, Tasha. I see you, girl. Mm-hmm.
Tasha, we saw you.
That's kind of cute, though. That was kind of cute.
It was kind of cute.
She doesn't know his relationship, like, history. She was just
wearing no ring.
He's just a brother. She's a single black female. She sees a man.
But that
in suit.
Happens all the time, though. Right. I mean, we can go to the gas station and men hit on us, ladies. And you can, you know, probably go out to
and
a bar, whatever. Yeah. Or get hit on, too. But, I mean, that's why it's so important that you take care of home. And even when you're not doing well, or you're not feeling in the mood, you being selfless and still making sure that you, you know, give words of affirmation and encouragement to your partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Where Lawrence is not hearing words of affirmation at all is in the whole job hunting situation. So let's talk about, you know, his scenes with the recruiter or the headhunter. Mm-hmm. Really blowing his ego. We find out that Lawrence is getting interviews, but just not landing the gig. You know,
it's hard out there. It's hard to get a job.
And this is the reality.
Yeah.
You know, he has to take a step back. But if you were in Lawrence's shoes, how would you have reacted as a man?
I mean, that's just real life right now. Like, kids with college degrees are not getting jobs. That's just the real. I work as a waiter in a restaurant. I have a college degree. Like, it's hard out there getting a job. Like, I feel overqualified for a lot of the jobs that I've been working in the past. But you just put yourself out there, keep going. As the headhunter said, it's just really tough. It's tough out there. There's more people than there are jobs right now.
A college degree is equal to a high school diploma.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that doesn't really go for much, you know?
Yes,
I have a degree in communications, I guess I'm putting to work right now. But, you know, it's still hard out there for people. So I empathize with Lawrence and his situation because, you know, it's tough. So I feel for him.
And they said it takes like 6 months to actually like land a position.
Yeah.
And so it's based on, you know, how much he's been putting into it. It's just like dating, you know, you're going to get what you give.
Yeah, I think she mentioned that he was looking for like 2 weeks or something like that. Did you? but my whole thing is the way they set up the show. I'm like, yeah. It seemed like he had been searching for a while, and then the headhunter said, mm-hmm. Well, you're 2 weeks into the search or something like that. I don't know.
I think he's been being lazy, and I think that was Issa's issue with him, was him not being proactive. He was kind of just sitting on the couch hoping that something would knock on his door.
And you, right. You posed a question like, as a man not being able to provide, I guess, is sort of what you're getting at.
I think it's not being able to provide,
right.
You know, knowing that you're good enough, mm-hmm. and men are all about ego, like improving. So if I'm putting up the work, I should get the results. So that's kind of what I'm getting. It's a culmination of things.
Got you. And that's got to be tough on him, which is why I empathize with him. And I thought you were too hard on him in the first episode. I was like, get off my man Lawrence's back. He's trying.
Well, I see that now. And I think that Issa is getting to the point, just like, you know, Mari said, that she was frustrated with the fact that he seemed as though he was lazy. And then when we see the reference that, you know, you've been in the process for 2 weeks, my brother, you got to hold on. You get what I'm saying? Like, relax, fam. You can't go to sleep and just wake up, you know? And I think that's where she was just like, you know, dang, you've been doing this for how long? Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And she wasn't seeing the back work, though. And I think that's what sometimes we don't know everything that's going on in the
inner working.
Yeah, right. We don't know the background work. Mm-hmm. So I was wrong. But I hopped back on last week. You did. Come on now.
You did. And
I'm on Team Lawrence.
There you go.
How's Lawrence at home?
Lawrence is great.
You're Lawrence.
Lawrence is great.
Okay.
What's Lawrence is great. I can't do that.
Yeah, I was like, what's his name?
Lawrence is great. And I think that this, and we were talking earlier how this episode, it just resonates so much. Man. I know for me personally. And I think that everything in this show for this episode for certain hit dead on. Mm-hmm. Like everything was just dead on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's move forward. Some other scenes that were very interesting. Issa at work finding out that white people are having secret ass meetings.
Secret,
secret
white
ass emails.
Secret white emails. Secret
they
white
said
text.
Secret white meetings. I'm just quoting the show.
They're having secret white meetings.
Look, I really want to highlight the fact that I appreciate this episode because I've been very critical about it from the start because it is me consistently
critical
comparing
in what way?
It. Well, I keep comparing it to Awkward Black Girl. And they, you know, there's a lot of awkward scenes in this show, but they titled it Insecure. So what I was looking for was, okay, if you're not going to give me Awkward Black Girl, give me extreme amounts of insecurity.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't seeing a ton of insecurity as much as I was the awkwardness. Okay. And so I appreciate that I'm seeing the insecurity show up when she's feeling like there's these, you know, secret meetings and she's finding out about these emails and people talking about her. It is making her very insecure and very self-conscious. And she's going back to, you know, this, you know, ethnic insecurity. Is it because, mm-hmm. you know, of my race? And it is. I mean, we're consistently seeing that.
I don't know
that.
If that made her insecure, though. I think that just, like,
it did. She started getting
off.
Paranoid. Like, Trump paranoia.
It wasn't paranoia, because
like,
they were actually having secret white meetings.
But it wasn't confirmed. The text messages were about them.
The emails were confirmed, though.
The texts were not, though. So she's now just assuming that, oh, they're laughing at me, and these kids don't like me, and these kids are hating on me and my event.
I think it was confirmed, because she walked into a room where they were discussing her beach project, and their coworker told her, oh, yeah, we had an email chain without you. So I feel like that
that's a confirmation,
you know?
But now it's a
feeling.
Paranoia.
It's an eerie feeling.
If you laugh, now you're laughing at me.
But my whole thing is, I mean, I work in a very, I'll say corporate setting, a very professional and corporate setting. And if they're having one conversation about you, guaranteed it's going to trickle over to every other medium that you could have. It's going to be on Twitter, Instagram, any way they can communicate, they're mm-hmm. going to have it about you. So even if we didn't see the text,
exactly.
it probably came up.
You know
I
about.
Think that it was kind of cool. Well, not cool. Of course, I didn't agree with it. But I think it's kind of cool how she illustrated how racism is not just like, you're this or you're that. You know, it could be viewed in many different lights. And even something as small as a...
Exclusion.
Just lunch. You get what I'm saying? How a lunch break can easily be turned into something totally different,
right.
whether knowingly or unknowingly,
well,
you know?
She also showed it through the imaging. I don't know if you guys peeped the shirts that they created for Beach Day, but that, I think, was made by one of her friends who sent in that design. And it was a white hand holding the little black kids.
The black kids. You saw
right?
it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, even right there, once again, she was insinuating, you know, that white people have come to save, you know,
the
us black people.
We're holding...
Shout out Blindside,
so,
the movie, if anyone saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually a good movie, though.
That was a really good movie.
It was
movie.
A good movie,
a
but you know
movie.
The like the backlash about it. The white family saving the black, poor black
well,
man.
Well, Sandra Bullock
hey,
is
Mike.
The real-life Blindside mom.
Right,
she got
she
two
does.
Black kids
yeah.
now, so shit. I mean, it's just art imitating life.
Adopt me,
Shout
Hale.
Out to Louis Bullock. Okay, Sandra Bullock's little baby. He's so damn cute. I want to talk about insecurity with Issa and Lawrence trying to talk about career stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw them come back together. Issa's bitching about work, and Lawrence is like...
He busts her out.
Yeah, you know, he's like, you ain't even talking about my career aspects and things of that nature. They're both operating in insecurity and can't support one another's insecurities. I mean, that's
I feel like he was little... being supportive.
Yeah, he was.
Like, what I found interesting was that she's not fooling with him right now. She's turned off by him.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you're still going back to him and using him as one of your resources to vent.
Soundboard.
And taking advantage of, you know, your friendship. You don't want him, but yet you want him to listen to your problems when you come home. And so, he is doing that. He's still trying. He's giving her feedback and he's trying to be encouraging, like, you know, and motivate her. But then when it comes his turn, she hasn't been doing that. She's been very selfish
mm-hmm.
and in her own feelings. And he's noticing it. And I'm happy that he busted her out and said, hey, like, yeah. hello, I know I may be down in the dumps right now, but you got to show up. Yeah. Like, give me something.
She played him twice this episode. The cold hands.
Mm-hmm. Said, she keeps playing him.
You know,
yes.
getting the snow cones. And then when he said, I hope I don't see you at Riot Aid. And she was like, too soon. But you brought that your ass funny, back though. Home.
Right. Too soon.
I mean, that was my thing. Like, either you're going to hold off a little bit, yeah. but if you're going to go back for real.
No, I mean, she went back, but she's still trying to teach him a lesson. Like, but, he's still...
Yeah, she went back again, with intentions on having a safety net. She was using him as a soundboard.
Not his like, mama. So this is where the issues happen, is you're trying to teach him a lesson. You're not his mama. But yet, you're trying to act like his mama, but acting like a child.
Doesn't every, like, guy look for, like, their mother and, like, their
girl? No,
now, here we go.
Can somebody kill that myth? Somebody pass me a knife.
It's not Ethan's responsibility to make him grow up. She needs to have an adult conversation with him and actually talk about their issues.
That was so crazy.
Please pass the knife.
Wow, okay.
Look, there is a classic Kelly Price song called Not My Daddy. It's so good. I recommend it to everybody. You're not my daddy, you're my man, okay?
And J-Lo got a song, too. I ain't your mama.
You know Hello. What I'm saying? We looking for partners out here, equally yoked. But I want to
Fantasia said I ain't gonna beg you.
Come on now. I want to get into my personal favorite scene.
Okay.
Issa and Molly go to this, like, little kickback or whatever that was thrown by Molly's sorority sister. So, just so you guys know, Spicy and I are proud members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
You're so bougie.
Stereotypes.
And here I am, little Issa in the middle, ski walk.
Yo, I'm a goddamn independent. So.
Me by me in the building.
Me by me. Yeah,
so. No, but I love the case, though. I love the case. You know, I love the case.
Everybody does.
Yeah. We're about service to all mankind.
Yes.
Okay? So I was really excited to see that. Once again, I am the real life Molly.
But I think it was thrown at an alpha house, though. I think, did you not peep the alpha sign above the fireplace?
I think I missed that. Yeah. I didn't
see that, but like looking at the way the house was structured.
It's like a dude.
I've been to the alpha house here in LA, and it doesn't look like that.
Okay.
That looks more like the Kappa house.
This is for TV, so.
But they're trying. Okay, we'll talk about this
also
after.
Shout out to Black Greek Life. That was like pretty cool to see.
Yeah,
you know, because
we don't really see that a whole lot in LA.
Ever.
I
don't even think about that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Nice.
I'm from Arkansas, so I'm Southern all day. So yeah. I know the Atlantas and the Alabamas. Yeah. What up, UA? I know in Mississippi's all that, but I have not seen like a huge Greek presence here in LA, like what I'm accustomed to seeing.
Shout out to the Divine Nine.
Yeah, you know,
shout out to Sweet Me Pie Spellman.
You know, in the Sigma Delta chapter at University of Oregon. It's all love.
It's all
but
love.
What I will say about Greek Life
here in LA.
This is what I believe to be true. I think that there is a lot of drop off for people after they graduate from college. Mm-hmm. They're not as active, mm-hmm. and due to the job market and things, it's expensive being Greek. You
oh
know?
Yeah,
AKA dudes, I love it. I'm a third generation K, but it's a business. Okay, I got to pay them dues every year. It's tough.
Must be like, but is you financial though?
You know, it is tough. And the other thing I'll say about LA, and Spicy, please chime in because you know your experiences.
Yes.
You know, we're right here together. I don't think that there are enough college-educated men in L.A. I think there are more women.
I'm right here.
But no, college-educated
right
Greek men in L.A.
I'm not Greek. Okay.
Okay, so there are opportunities or, you know, events that I don't think are celebrated as much in Los Angeles as far as Greekdom is concerned. And that's just because of, I think, one, the way that we're populated in Los Angeles as far as, like, geography. Mm-hmm. But then also, two, just, you know, a strong Black affluent community. That's not as prevalent as well. As,
yeah.
Not so much as the South and the East Coast out
yeah.
here. And so we're a melting pot. So it's hard to connect and find your people to connect to. So, but I'm going to add you to some of the Facebook groups that we got.
Look at this sisterhood.
And I just went to a little Greek party a couple weekends ago.
I want to go. Am I not allowed?
No, I'll make sure.
My dad's a Kappa.
No,
mom's
everybody's
a Delta.
Welcome. Everybody's welcome.
Your dad's a noob?
My dad is a noob.
You are pretty enough to be a noob. honorary noob.
Look, but he could be smart and handsome like an alpha too.
Thank you.
Well, either way, and I encourage everybody, if you are planning to go to college or if you graduate, I mean, just look into becoming Greek. It's one of the greatest experiences that you'll ever have.
But I want to talk about their conversation that they were having as far as good black educated men
let's get into it.
Because that I thought was a hot topic. Like that was something that I hear a lot of, you know, people talk about the dating scene in Los Angeles and it being so troubling, but also they're not being educated men in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Now, Kelly, I wrote in my notes, my hefty coworker. I'm not throwing shade. I just, how I took a note, but she was the larger, and I'm big, okay? So, but shout out to Kelly. She said, I'm so tired of LA men. Now, real quick, this show was actually supposed to be developed for ABC, and it was supposed to be called I Hate LA Men. Mm-hmm. So when she made that drop, I was like, oh, okay, so I see how they're tying it in now. But she says straight up, I'm so tired of LA men. I'm tired of it,
too. I second that most. Oh, you second the first. I third it.
I'm tired of it.
Have you found my man yet?
I feel a lot of hate up here.
I'm tired of it.
See, me and Mario need to be beefing.
Okay, this is,
you had one job.
But this is why. It's because there isn't, like, once again, a strong, affluent, and prevalent black professional scene out here. Because this is the entertainment industry, you're going to get a lot of guys that are, you know, working in entertainment but bussing tables with degrees. And so, and this is not just, this is not a, no, but this is like, this is us being 100% honest. There is nothing wrong with that. But a girl like Molly doesn't want to date you.
Right.
And it's because.
Like the Enterprise did.
Yeah, she doesn't want, because she does, she wants the, you know, she wants a certain lifestyle that she thinks that a man without a degree or a man that's in a, you know, corporate 9 to 5 can't provide. And a lot of women out here think that. So they automatically write you off if you're not doing as well as they are.
But a lot of those dudes busting tables, like myself, graduated the 4.0 from college, went to college on a full scholarship. So we got the whole package. We were just like working towards other things, other goals.
And that's why it's harder, because the entertainment industry isn't built like any other industry.
That's
it's
LA. Not. That's
Don't
LA.
Come here thinking there's a blueprint.
Child, there talk no about blueprint. It. Can you say that one more time?
Don't come here to LA thinking that there's a blueprint to start it.
Okay, last time, just third time. But
there's no blueprint. Okay. Spicy.
But if we were on the East Coast, there is, you know, Wall Street. If we were in D.C., you would see a lot of black men in politics. Like, there's more.
That's
of,
so true. Yeah. My best friend is in D.C., and she is in, like, so many when, and she cracks me up, and I made reference, Hay Day, when Molly had joined that elite crew or whatever, there's so many, like, groups, Facebook, like, just groups, period, out there for them to mix and mingle. Like, and I'm just like, dude, where are those? Where's that at here?
We
you know, like,
it.
We don't have it.
And I'm even guilty. I understand exactly what Molly's going through because, you know, I want somebody who's, you know, educated just like me, who's, you know, working and ambitious. And unfortunately, I won't date somebody in entertainment because I'm in entertainment. And I know
and
it's
you
a,
engage now.
And she engaged. She engaged. What you talking about?
What you talking about, girl?
What you talking about,
girl?
She ain't
dating
nothing.
But
off the market, okay?
But he
she ain't dating none of y'all broke
motherfuckers. And look, as I make my point with this,
she's like,
here.
By the way.
But look at, by the way, super corporate, and I'm in entertainment, and he vowed to not date anybody in entertainment because he knows it is, you know, it's a lot of drama and it's not consistent. And so he was patient with me.
So he already broke his vow.
He stepped outside of his comfort zone. Okay. And to that point, I stepped outside of mine. I thought I wanted somebody in entertainment. But what I realized is when you date outside of your parameters or outside of your comfort zone, you may potentially find love. And he did. He took
so
a chance.
So that's like Molly
with
I'm her
just
standards.
Ready for the wedding.
Like you gotta, she needs to adjust your standards.
She gotta, I don't or think just that, like, well, not your standards, but just be open-minded because, you know, what if you can encourage him to go to school or to, you know, start some career goals or his own business?
I think, and again, this show really depicts in an accurate way, you know, what it's like to be a 20-something African-American woman in L.A. And I identify with Molly a lot because, yes, I work in entertainment, but I also have a very high-profile corporate-ass gig. I'm not saying that on no cocky tip, but I'm just being for real. You know, what I do for a living and the circles that I'm in, it's very different. So, you know, I was telling Allie, like, I actually went out with a guy tonight. Very, very nice
she
guy.
She likes him a lot.
I hope he's not watching.
Wait, how long have you known him?
Like a couple weeks.
Okay.
How'd y'all meet? She likes you a lot.
I met him online.
Okay. Don't tell him that. It's just a friendship now. She's still feeling him out.
But I identified a lot with Molly because he's college educated, but he's not where I'm at. Mm. And I think the one thing that they haven't said yet in this mm-hmm. show, but I think it's going to come up, is the fact that, you know, for myself, thinking about it, it's not so much like, oh, well, he doesn't have the same things on paper, but you're looking at financials, right?
Okay. Mm.
And I think for women, I think Molly secretly is probably still very old-fashioned, as am I. So I'm kind of like, I don't want to make more money than you. And here in LA, it's like if you're a woman and you're on that track and trajectory, mm-hmm. finding a guy who does make more money than you is a little bit tougher. Mm-hmm. And I think that secretly, Molly hasn't said it yet, but Molly doesn't want to be the primary breadwinner. Because Issa talks about it before they even went to the party. She goes, I am the financial. I have the weight of financials. Mm-hmm. I have the weight of the emotion. I have the weight of everything.
And they're heavy as hell.
And they're heavy, and we don't necessarily want them. Yeah. Right?
So does it make him, so if you are the primary breadwinner in your household, does that make you more of the man than the man? Because this is what this
it can
is,
chop his nuts
this
off.
This is where it gets a little bit challenging. You know, as women, we right. ask for equal rights. Right. We ask for more pay in corporate America. You know, we want to be treated 24/7 just as equally as men until it comes to our household when it's like, oh, no, but that's where I want you to be doing better than me. That's where I want you to be making more, and I don't want equal rights. That's where I want, you know, me to play my role and, you know, me to be comforted and be able to be emotional. Yeah. But you be man Speak and hear you it. Roar and be strong. So why is it that, you know, we want this double standard in our household, but not when it comes to the workplace or anything else?
How do you feel about it? Are you okay with making more?
So I don't make more, but I can't wait to make more than him and boss up real quick on some Nicki Minaj. Like, yeah. I wiped him up. I can't wait to be on that level. But I think that is very tricky, and it's a double standard because, you know, when we get into the situation where, you know, he has to make more money than us, what happens when he doesn't? Does that mean that we're going to sacrifice our happiness and be alone until we find somebody who makes more money than us?
I'm not for that. I've never been.
Because that's
I've
some superficial crap
types.
Right there.
That is very superficial. You know?
And it's something that...
But I also don't need you to be lazy either.
No.
We just had a conversation with my friend.
Ambitious artist.
So we just had a friend. I have a friend, my roommate. We were talking about this literally yesterday. We have a friend, right?
Okay.
Very much so capable of working, but it's just like, are you going to work? Mm-hmm. Like, you can have dreams, you can have aspirations,
you
like you can have
those?
Goals, but what are you doing right now that's going to help you to get to where you're going? Mm-hmm. I don't just absolutely love my job some days, but I know that I got to pay my dues too. You get
For
what I'm
real.
Saying?
Yeah.
So just like she said, it's not
drive,
a blueprint,
the drive has to
but
be
it's
there.
Just like you got to be there. And if my man is not there right now, depending on the circumstances, if you are lazy, I'm not with it. You get what I'm saying? So, but if it's a different story, then hell yeah, we can rock with it. My money is your money, my money.
And that's right. And that is a much better mentality than, you know, if you don't have it, you're completely written
right.
off.
I don't
so
know
with Molly being
sure
like a corporate
money,
lawyer and Jared being working as a manager or whatever his title is at Enterprise, he's working, he has a stable job, he goes to work every day, he's not lazy, he's about his
You
business.
Gotta think about the type of chick, though, that Molly is. Everybody is
that's,
so,
that's
different.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why does that have to be a problem? Why does he have to
I
be...
think it came up today in this episode.
It did.
Because it's not so much Molly, it's her sorority sister
and her perception.
Everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
When he said
they
he
said,
go to college,
he embarrassed
like,
did you go to college?
She would be embarrassed if she takes him on her arm to, you know, these affluent events and in her inner circle. She's going to think that he's ignorant. He doesn't understand
why
what they're talking
why?
About.
I don't think it's so much she's going to think, but it's she's thinking, and maybe I'm speaking from a place of truth, but it's more about you're thinking what everybody else is thinking. Like, damn, like, why was she? Why in the hell would she settle for that?
It's your insecurity.
You know, like
why is she doing
insecurity.
This?
Once
and
again,
he doing
insecurity.
That.
And that's, these are the things that I've been waiting for. Show me this insecurity, and that's exactly what I appreciate.
Look at Allie.
There's another time when Molly showed insecurity again, but I'm gonna let us finish this topic before I jump to it.
So, can I ask you, McCall? Like, you are this boss corporate lady.
No,
for the sake of argument, and you were to date a mechanic who loves his job, loves working with cars. That would like be something that would turn you off because he's a mechanic and doesn't make as much money as you do. But
I want to know that
collar,
you're a mechanic with a business sense and you're trying to expand that business.
Why can't he just show up to work every day and work on cars?
Because
that's what he loves to
they
do.
They talk about control a little bit in this episode. You know, they said, well, Molly, you like to control stuff. If I got to come home and like control like how the household is run based off of my finances is going to be annoying.
Why do finances make so, the determination?
This is where the male,
because she's bringing home the bread.
But this is where the male and female energy comes in, because Molly is already a controlling. If she's a controlling person, that's a characteristic trait. That means she is an alpha female. So if you are alpha female, you are going to be more compatible, more than likely, with a female energy. And it doesn't mean that he's it doesn't mean that he's feminine. It just means that he will allow you to run stuff
gracefully.
And majority of women are like, no, I'm an alpha female, but I want an alpha man.
See, and this
and
is why this is about this is why y'all are single. This is why y'all are single. Beta. This is the problem.
What's
y'all,
her homegirl's name? Little light skin mama. She hit it on point when she was like, I allow him to be a man. And I'm y'all sure she's very so aggressive, too.
What the hell are y'all talking about? Y'all can't have a man that works a stable job and loves his job and you make more money than him? That's like
I think
a problem
that's perfectly
for you?
Fine.
What is y'all's
that's perfectly
issue?
Fine.
This is
I have
like,
to understand
are y'all
that.
Kidding me?
You have to be okay with
no,
that.
No, people have to be truthful about it.
Speak your truth. Speak your truth.
You have to be equally, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, people are going to be with who they're going to be with, the person, however they choose to be. But at the end of the day, you want to be equally yoked with somebody. Yes. Whatever that equally yoked is for you, whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally,
right,
whatever.
So finances are one aspect of relationship. You have the emotions. You have the spirituality.
That is true.
You have the
and they all,
you have,
but they all fall in a level. Don't you agree? This is relationship talk.
Yeah,
everything
it
falls in its place.
So real quick. I think this ties back into this whole 80-20 idea. And I want to talk about it at the end of our show, but we are running a little bit short on time. So the theme that I noticed a lot during this episode is 80-20. So remember Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? Mm-hmm. And said, well, you know, you'll get 80% of what you want in a relationship and then 20%, you know, you wish you could have, right?
Right.
Every aspect of Issa, Molly, Lawrence, they all have 80-20 going on. Issa has, you know, 80% at work. She's doing what she loves to do, but she don't like her coworkers, right? Mm-hmm. Molly got Jared. He's a good dude, but he ain't got the bread. Everybody's dealing with an 80-20, right? And I'm trying to figure out, okay, at what point do you draw the line? And at what point do you, I don't want to say settle, but when does it become okay to just be okay with
this
the 80-20?
This is my 80-20.
When you're going to sleep at night and you're not tossing and turning and thinking of, it's not on your mind all the time.
Well, and why does it have to be settling? So I think that we say settling when there's a difference of being satisfied.
I didn't want to say settling.
Okay, but settling versus satisfied. When are you going to be satisfied? Because if you're somebody who's never satisfied with anything in life, you're not going to be happy when you get your corporate, you know, six-figure dude either. There's always going to be something wrong because you're not a person who knows how to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. So when you feel like, oh, well, he doesn't have X, Y, and Z, so therefore I'm settling. You know, if you are getting your needs met, you really have to look at, like, what things are priorities and deal breakers for you. And if your deal breakers, you know, aren't being crossed right there, then you should probably consider that relationship. Because if he treats you amazing, somebody who has the six figures can treat you super shady. Like, yeah, it shouldn't be just about what he's making. And it's not settling.
Did you guys see Think Like a Man?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, of course. And I felt like a lot of that going on in this
episode. P. Henson character. She went on a date with a Morris Chestnut, who's a six-figure dude.
Yes.
But the guy she ended up with was a chef who didn't make nearly as much money
Michael
as she
Ely
did. You know what I'm saying? And he satisfied her in every other way,
yes,
but she made more money.
And
so
it's
this
about
is why
character
I'm like confused about
heart,
like why it's such an issue for Molly to like for Molly and McCall to date someone who
that
isn't
comes
on
a,
their corporate
that
level.
That comes
like,
with
you know
a maturity
I mean?
Level too. Don't
it
you
does,
agree?
And
if she's not there yet.
What do you think about that? Since
well, this is what I will say, just from my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. My mom was a doctor, right? My dad was a teacher. So clearly my mom made more money.
Yes.
But my dad was very alpha. So like there was tension sometimes in the household because it's like at some point it just comes down to nuts and bolts. Like I'm bringing home the bread. So, right, you know, you sit up here saying woot, 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 but I'm still making more money than you. Yeah. And, you know, like.
But does money define you, though? Because
but money
defines
men.
You.
It doesn't define me. It does. It secretly, all men want to make
more
money.
Me and my ex-boyfriend.
No, it
Lawrence
doesn't.
I'm telling you, it doesn't.
I think the average American man,
may not be that
his identity is rooted in his bread.
Yeah.
Right? So even though I'm able to, like, look past it for a while, at some point it's going to rear its head, not so much with me, but with you.
I mean, I've been broke for a while, and I feel very secure.
But you're young and broke.
Young and broke.
I ain't seen you at 45. You're right. And I pray to God.
I'm broke at 45. And you're bringing up very.
I mean, the male ego is, you know, tremendous, and at some point it does, you know, start to mess with their head if they're not making money. But also, how are we as women playing into that? How are we feeding that stereotype and feeding, you know, his ego? Because if we are constantly reminding him that he is beneath us or less than us because he's not making more, and I don't know your family situation growing up, which might come, you know, have a lot, which it does have a lot to do with your mentality now. But you seeing that, you know, different dynamic in your household and you not respecting it, you could be in a situation now where you're like, oh no, he has to make more money because I saw the way my mother treated my father. But you also have to decide, you know, am I going to make those same choices? Am I going to view it the same way? Because you're in control of how you treat him, and he and whatever male, you know, comes to the, you know, table with you, he's in control as well of his ego and his, you know, his character. Like those are all things that, you know, you're going to either enforce and perpetuate, or you can change that and find somebody who's very secure with him being a teacher.
But trust and believe, honey, whoever you're not pleased with, somebody else gonna make them feel exactly. Just as pleased.
What's up, Tasha? Let's get into that. What's up, Tasha? So
Tasha was like, you got it, boy. You can keep on going.
Tasha works at Broadway Federal, which is a historically African-American bank. Mm-hmm. One of, I think, only two in California. Wow. Broadway Federal, though. So we live in L.A. We can kind of pinpoint where they're shooting. That was not Broadway Federal. Broadway Federal was on Figueroa and Martin Luther King. And that is that's not what it looks
but
like on the inside.
But they wanted us to feel like it was.
Yeah. So shout out to you trying to be accurate, HBO. Got the Greeks, got Broadway Federal. I see you with that.
All in one episode. All this race.
A for effort.
Low-key, Tasha, breasts all out in the workplace.
I like Tasha.
It's a black.
You would. It's a black on.
And then she all up in his account, like, oh, you clearly got savings. So you're not supposed to comment on that.
Not professional.
They homies. That was not professional. But yeah, clearly, like, they know each other. But what I really also like about this situation is that it shows something that is very realistic that will happen. Somebody else will appreciate, you know, what you don't. Another man's, or another woman's.
Well, the treasure
trash
becomes, no, another trash becomes treasure. Treasure.
Yeah, okay.
Because she knows he's been unemployed, but she's telling him to keep his head up.
But
keep
I appreciate us not there, showing, you know, like, an exchange of support. Information or exchange of, like, I appreciate him not considering leaving Issa for that. Mm-hmm. Him just, you know, getting his compliment, being able to accept somebody, you know, flirting and hitting on him and reboosting his ego, but then still making sure that he went home to his woman and addressed issues with her, as opposed to, I'm about to, you know, slide through her DM real quick and, like, ask her out.
Oh, mm-hmm. Tasha will be back.
See, I think it was...
Tasha's coming back.
And we're gonna get into the predictions. So Issa makes it back to the apartment to have a conversation with Lawrence, but after she has a successful beach day, which I'm so glad that worked out for her.
Did we talk about
beach
day?
Yeah, me too.
We haven't talked about it, but what did you guys feel about the whole beach day scene? I see what she was trying to do, putting her foot down with the kids, but she was trying to play to them like white folks would play to them, instead of just being like for real, like on a
black
scene.
That played into insecurity too.
Yes,
and that's why
she was being insecure.
She was very insecure in that moment. Black kids are making me look bad.
She's like, y'all in mixed company right now.
Right. Can y'all have my back in this situation?
I thought that was really funny.
But that same exact situation where she felt like there's white people around, I have to be somebody else right now, and you little black kids need to help me be somebody else.
Yeah.
That's the same exact thing that happened with Molly at work.
True. Yeah, exactly. Because Molly doesn't feel like she can be herself at work, but she feels insecure because Rashida is doing, you
Rashida's
know,
being herself.
Rashida's
not
being her authentic
turning
self.
It off and on. There is no alter ego. She's not switching up her persona when she comes into work. And Rashida was very confident about that.
Yeah. And Molly was very upset that she did it.
She checked her very well.
A nice little read.
Yeah.
And you know, Molly trying to be helpful, like, hey girl, I'm gonna tell you, these white folks, don't do that. Switch it up. No. You're trying to help her through your insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's mad that she won herself from Jump Street. When you can bounce from chilling and playing poker and drinking with the janitors and then you can speak Spanish too. Like, you kicking it with everybody.
You were mad that Rasheed that she did be in her
But don't you feel like there should be like a professional decorum or professional?
Oh, most definitely, but I also feel like you should also be true to yourself. And I think when Rashida came in and said, listen, I didn't switch it up when I was editor.
Right.
But well, the way she's told
I didn't switch it up in my interview when I was with your partners. Right. I wasn't switching it up then, I was being me.
The way she was talking to Molly though was very different from the way she was talking to that white man in the hallway. She was being loud and extra then she broke it down.
That's
with
the
Molly,
tone that Molly has set up. That's okay, the kind that's of fair, that's the, fair. You know.
That's fair.
She has set
but
that
she
up.
Was being a little loud.
But there
hallway.
Is this like
we can't get loud.
She
that,
was
but that
loud.
Theme though, there is this you know
camaraderie kind of thing.
Well, there's this mentality that when we go into the workplace that we have to switch it up, that we can't be ourselves who we are at home when we're around white people, that we have to be, you know, the super professional and corny person and act like them because they won't accept us if we act like ourselves.
But Lauren said that to her too when she came home complaining. He was like, all you gotta do, and it made me this part made me mad. He said, all you gotta do is go and just work harder and just prove them wrong. Why? That's an insecurity.
But that is
why do I have to go? But that's a struggle. Yeah. And that's why I said she hit it dead on the head this episode, because that's an everyday struggle with almost probably every person of color. Mm-hmm. You always have to go and prove somebody wrong, be better than, like, you always have to be.
Well, because the expectation and the stereotype is that there is this laziness, or that there is this, certain, CP time. I mean, there's stuff that, you know, we sometimes play into. I mean, there are these stereotypes that we constantly have to, you know, debunk.
Were we both late today?
And, I mean,
I ain't never been out from 9:15. And sometimes 9:30.
But there are these stereotypes that we have to work a little bit harder, because they're automatically expecting, not even knowing that they're doing this, expecting us to fail.
Mm-hmm. And I think the reason Molly had that conversation with Dada Girl is because when you are black in a predominantly white situation, white people view you as the representation of all black people. That's just reality.
Yes.
Like when someone sees a black person, like, oh, look at this Negro. Like, mm-hmm. That's how they all are. So that's why Molly's having this conversation with her to the side. Like, yo, tone it back a bit. Because when you act like this, they're going to view me the same
way.
You
know what I also saw?
You know what I'm saying?
Part of me thought that Molly didn't want her being too chummy with her white coworkers because she doesn't want her to be more liked. Because sometimes, now I ain't like this, but black women in the workplace, sometimes we feel like, oh, I have to be the only one.
Yeah.
I have to be the most successful one. I have to be the only one. I have to be the most liked one.
The go-to one.
Oh, I didn't get
because
that.
Because there's so few.
Well, no, but I don't think that Molly ever hinted to that. But I was just thinking, like, that might be a possibility.
So just, like, threatening your environment.
Because I thought it more of, once again, her being embarrassed by this other black woman in the workplace representing, you know, the black women. And then also, you know, even not wanting to talk to Jared. It was this, you know, insecurity of how he's going to represent her once again. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not as, you know, I'm this affluent person, this, you know, strong, you know, black woman. You're going to make me look bad. Mm-hmm. So I just saw it as, you know, her coworker and her inner, you know, personal relationship with just people in general. But I can see that.
Because, you know, if you guys are doing equal work, and then she's more liked and respected because she speaks her mind, then you become less valuable, if you will, in the world. And again, I've just seen it. Now, they didn't hint to it, but I'm just looking at a possibility. I want to get to predictions real quick.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
You know, because we get kicked out the studio. but I want to hit on a prediction that comes up at the end of this episode. So, you guys, please think about yours.
Yes.
Molly goes on a date with a guy because she finally gets into the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
She breaks up with Jared, though, before the date. And I thought that was very stupid. Why would you tell him that? So this is my prediction.
Before the date, yeah.
She broke up with him essentially before the date.
Right.
Jared's going to get with somebody. I have a feeling Jared's going to get with Rashida.
Oh, that's a great prediction. That would be because she would appreciate him.
I have a feeling Rashida going to end up with Jared.
That would be hilarious. I mean, I think that it's going to be, what's the movie that you referenced earlier?
Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man. I think it's going to be just like that. She has a bad experience with this, like, foo-foo, you know, professional, corporate dude. And then she's going to wind up calling Jared back for sure.
He's going to be with somebody else, probably Rashida.
Rashida, that's juicy.
That would
like
be
that.
Hilarious, though.
See?
I would love
all
that.
All the white people love her and your ex-boo. Stupid.
I honestly think that Molly is limiting herself and that she needs to start dating outside of race. I think she needs to get with, you know, one of these corporate professionals at work, one of these white men.
Is that your prediction?
I hope she does.
What about
That's
you,
Allie?
It concerns to Molly or just in general?
in general.
Okay. I think that, of course, Lawrence is going to start his new job, and I think that it's going to, like, kill Issa again. I think she's gonna just gonna be like, golly, I'm not okay with this. I try to be okay and support her through it, but I'm really not okay with this.
Because you ain't making no money at Best Buy.
And then whatchamacallit's gonna pop a better job too, so she really not gonna be on here at Best Buy.
Issa might be applying to Best Buy next week also.
She might be, but she's not right now.
Be upset for somebody when they're down because it's never gonna be consistently perfect.
Yeah. All right, Omari on the spot.
I don't have a prediction. I just want to read this tweet from Issa Rae.
Yeah, please do.
When, if she was referencing the beach scene when the white dude was like, why can't these black kids swim? Mm-hmm. And she just said, slavery. So yeah. Issa Rae tweeted out, slavery is an answer to every stupid question. Basically, white people have a lot of stupid questions about black people, and you know why.
Why can you take your hair off? Slavery.
Right? Slavery.
Slavery.
You know where we'll be next week. We're right back here at AfterBuzz because slavery.
yes.
You know where to find me in between then on Twitter, on Instagram at So McCall Hall. Where can they find you guys at?
At Allie the Pub is Allie Washington.
And I'm Spicy Maddie. You guys can play with my Twitter or stroke my Instagram at Spicy Maddie.
You can find me on Twitter and IG at Owen with Omari. Also on Snapchat at Omari B.
And yo, engage with us in between now and next Sunday on AfterBuzz TV across the board. Yo, we love you guys because slavery.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.